Modernizing the Defense Department acquisition system, that's a tall order. Sequestration has put some extra strain on the process. Pentagon officials and even contractors say improvements in requirements management could help. Jordan Sims is Director of Organization Relations and Programs at the Project Management Institute, and he joins us with his prescription for fostering the skills and relationships needed to boost the acquisition system. Jordan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tom. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, so you have been blogging and writing about this, and you seem to see the acquisition problems as primarily a people issue.
No, that's absolutely correct. Absolutely, that's 100% correct. And the best way to put it was the way Secretary Kendall has recently mentioned, as we worked with him and his team, especially via Defense Acquisition University over at DAU, with the fact that defense is a human endeavor and the acquisition system's no different. And that's something we strongly agree with. I think the workforce professionalization and development in these areas is crucial for delivering on acquisition program management.
Because a lot of the discussion is about this piece of the FAR or that provision in the Defense Authorization Bill, but those are always about process. Is the process pretty much what it needs to be, and it's just that people don't play it very well, like a violin?
That's a good analogy for it. It's what we see both our work both on the public and private sector side of the world. It's unavoidable that it's a projectized world. It requires a heavy level of project and program management to make a lot of these succeed. We hear a lot, and I'm sure you probably have no shortage of guests on your show talking most recently in the last 6 months about innovation and requirements for development in the defense acquisition system. What I actually think is probably the best way to go about doing it, and what the PMI Pulse of the Profession research that we typically do points towards, is getting back to the basics. And I think we're seeing some of that, especially with the progression of the Better Buying Power system as it moves forward and brings more of the common sense business practices into the defense acquisition entire system overall. It's not just contracting. It's not just requirements. It's not just logistics. It's an entire program management orchestra, like you said, with the violin that needs to come together and actually make it acquisition program management, not just buying.
And so this buying, Better Buying Power 3, BPP3, they're calling it. What are we expecting that to do? I mean, it's Kendall's out talking about it, and people are having symposia on it. What is it, and what can we expect from it, do you think?
Well, yeah, it's a great point. Secretary Kendall is releasing that today over at CSIS, and I think everybody's on the edge of their seat to see the next level of progression. And there's no shortage of opinions on how to improve the Department of Defense, acquisition system. But I think that this is what I would say is one of the items that, PMI, or the Project Management Institute, typically tries to look for as a pocket of excellence in terms of finding the areas that are replicable and amplifiable across the organization to improve. And I think the Better Buying Power progression in terms of bringing in common business practices, leveraging those private sector and outside organization skill sets to bolster the DoD acquisition system is this move in the right direction. And what I really was encouraged by most recently at the Defense Acquisition Symposium by Secretary Kendall was his focus on requirements, requirements definition, requirements management, and bringing that back into the core basics of the acquisition process is probably the one thing I think that's really going to make the biggest difference in the near term.
So requirements is what it is that the thing that they're buying has to do. And where does that really originate? I mean, often by the time it gets to the contracting officer, it's kind of hard to understand what it is that the requirement is, in fact.
Right. And I think what a lot of people tend to overlook, and it may just be, common human nature to overcomplicate things, requirements definition and the overall requirements management are crucial. And it's not just DOD that's struggling with that. That's every organization, both public and private sector worldwide, globally, across our work and our research, we've identified are struggling in that area. For example, looking across both public and the private sector, across all industries, not just even DOD specific, the average is 47%, or nearly half of all failed projects are attributed to requirements management.
We're speaking with Jordan Sims. He is Director of Organization Relations and Programs at the Project Management Institute. So when it comes to requirements, who should be involved in requirements? Because you hear a lot that you can't have acquisition operating in a – you can't have procurement or acquisition operating in a vacuum, and you can't have a contracting officer getting something over the transom. So what's the best practice for how requirements get developed?
Right. That's a great question, Tom, and I think that's something that's – rooted in both the process of acquisition, like you talked about, but it's also in the culture of it all as well, too. Taking the proper program management approach to it, the DoD has no shortage of struggles right now, as everybody's aware of, with regards to budgetary limitations, hiring freezes on the workforce side, as well as sequestration staring them in the face. So as a result, it's inevitable. What we see in the private sector organizations is the typical knee-jerk reaction in the budgetary tightening is the reduction in training and then subsequently marketing. Obviously, the government doesn't have as much focus on marketing as most private sector organizations, so just insert that to the infrastructure. But the training is usually the first one to go. The continued professionalization of the workforce, the development of the business analyst abilities within the DoD acquisition workforce, the ability to bring all those different pieces and parts of the contracting, the requirements, the logistics, and the overall procurement side together, and to make a sum of the whole to make an actual true acquisition program management approach is going to be the key at the fundamental basic levels to actually making this work in this environment.
And that workforce, I guess they also want to enlarge that because it's been somewhat reduced over the last number of years. How do you make acquisition in DoD look like an attractive career to people that might be coming out of college or people maybe looking to change careers? I mean, certainly supply chain management doesn't sound fascinating, but it's a really hot career right now. A lot of schools offer degrees in it. Things like actuaries, you know, are in high demand. It sounds boring until you really understand how interesting it actually is. What can be done to make defense acquisition or federal acquisition something that people say, gee, I'd like to do that?
Well, that's a great question, Tom, and I think that's at the crux of the matter. I think people underestimate the importance of the acquisition workforce and its further development and professionalization, especially in the skill sets of proper project and program management and overall portfolio management across the broader spectrum. What we see is, as far as the importance goes, that's one of the areas I think DoD has a leg up, if you will, on the other federal agencies. They do actually have an aspirational career track at some level with the DOEA certifications going through at each level, 1, 2, and 3 and beyond, depending on how that goes. We have what we see now across the federal government as a whole in the program project management workforce is the inability to actually track and find and identify where these program managers actually reside. We have an IT career track, a formal series devoted to them, but nothing for the rest of the project and program managers. So that's something that we're working with not only within DoD in terms of developing their workforce, which has some real eye-opening stats in terms of those that are eligible for retirement, the level of experience, the age of the workforce, and the new talent they're going to have to attract, but across the larger federal government and acquisition overall.
Well, couldn't that also be an opportunity as you replace people that have been around a long time? Maybe you get some new ideas that the old folks hadn't thought of.
No, absolutely. Bringing in the properly credentialed and trained project and program managers that understand the big picture of making that program management symphony play the same sheet of music like we talked about earlier is going to naturally bring in new perspectives and ideas, which is going to attack that innovation, you know, conundrum. The defense acquisition industry overall has, you know, I find it remarkable that it's almost spun off a secondary industry in terms of ways to criticize it and talk about innovative and new developing ideas. But I think basic fundamental business management of the acquisition workforce and that further development and bringing those focuses on the fundamentals like Mr. Kendall's trying to do, I think are naturally going to breathe some of that fresh life into it.
And what can some of the big-time contracting community do to help this whole process? Because even though requirements planning might be bad, right, and the execution of acquisition programs might be faulty, but it never seems to harm the contractors financially.
Yeah, that's I think, one of the overlooked points of leverage, I think, that DoD have a lot of ability to really improve on in a very positive manner. And it's the sense, like we talked about before, with the budgetary limitations affecting the human capital aspects and the ability to invest in the workforce. It also takes its toll on R&D and the technology development. So being able to adequately coordinate with industry is key, both on the technological advancement side of things as well as the requirement side. And I think what's common in the culture, I'll tell you one encouraging thing I see in the culture is with that better buying power is the ability to reward program management offices and the PEOs for identifying savings and reinvesting back into the program itself to attack that culture of a budget penalty. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. I think that's great. And what I think another cultural breakdown that needs to be done in terms of barriers is getting the department to have a comfort level with coordinating with industry. I mean, federal acquisition regulations direct that in terms of doing many taking many opportunities as possible to almost crowdsource those requirements based on common technology that's understood outside in the private sector that maybe could leverage the improvement for the DoD struggling with budgetary investment in technology and R&D.
And a contractor could say, you know what, that requirement is really hard to follow. I don't know exactly what you want. Why don't you sharpen it up, or let me help you sharpen it up? Something as simple as that. Could that also help?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I said, breaking down that barrier between the Pentagon and the industry itself in terms of helping them define those requirements in a more collaborative, crowdsourced manner, I think is really going to make the difference in terms of them being able to get the requirements right the first time. Nobody's naive enough to not think that a major weapon system is not going to have a requirements creep over the course of its 20, 30-year development life cycle. However, maintaining pace with the current private sector technology is always going to be a great benefit to maintaining those requirements creep.
All right. Jordan Sims is the Director of Organizational Relations and Programs at the Project Management Institute. Thanks so much for joining me.
I appreciate it, Tom. Thanks for the time.